Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 208 of the Milk Bar. Jason and Zoe here this week. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Good, glad to hear it. And it's a bit of an odd one this week because we record in Molyneux in the PA room.
Yep.
And we never record the show in the right order.
But it's more than in the wrong order.
It's entirely in the wrong order. And I was chatting with Tom Campbell from Signal 107, and he says, "You record this as live, don't you?" He said, "No, this is the heavily edited version." Imagine what it'd be like if we didn't do that. So the show is, as ever, been recorded in a slightly strange order, and you'll hear odd noises of things being tested. There'll be beeping noises. And at the moment, you hear a small amount of music breaking through in the background, because that's what's going out into the stadium for testing purposes. So
makes it more interesting.
It's a bit of an odd way. It makes it difficult editing. But it's going to be an interesting live show this week. So, Zoe, what have we got coming up?
Well, we are going to be talking to Dickie Dodd after his bungee jump at the weekend.
Yes,
see how he got on.
He did that in West Park, so Dickie Dodd from Signal 107 will be here. We'll be finding out about a music festival taking place at the Folds. That's with Oliver Carpenter a little bit later on.
And we have Lemon to speak to. It's not a fruit.
No.
She's a singer-songwriter, so we'll be catching up with what she's up to.
And finding out about her dance craze.
I wasn't going to mention that.
No,
but yeah.
We'll gloss over it for now. That'll be a little bit later on. Also, Stiv is here. The Stivster. Hello.
Hello, sir.
We're talking films with you a bit later on, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
And we're going to make you sit through an entire podcast record before we talk to you.
Yeah, that's the game plan.
That's fine. You'll be okay. You sit back and enjoy it. You'll be all right.
Any excuse comes to mind, you spend time with you, Jace.
That's cool. Glad
and
to
yourself,
hear
sorry,
it.
Of course. Yeah. First time I've met you, though, that's really
cool. Yeah, because last time you were in, you were covering for Zoe on the show.
Yes.
But there we go. Also, we'll be talking art when we have some of the Maker's Dozen studio incumbents. They have a place to work in Wolverhampton. And we'll finally get more about that a little bit later on. But first of all, we go to the phones where we find Katie Manning. Hello.
Hello, hello, hello from lovely sunny London.
Yes.
Yeah, you're well, it is sunny here as well, isn't it?
Oh, is it? Oh,
yes.
Glorious.
It always seems sunny in London, though, doesn't it? Whenever I've been down there, the weather's always
not
really
yesterday
nice.
When I was doing a 10K walk for charity.
Oh, dear.
It was in high heels, of course.
Well, that's the only way to do 10K walks, isn't it, I think?
Well, I said to everybody, I said, who was wearing sneakers, I said, since when did walking become a sport?
Oh, I don't know. Now, you are coming to the Grand Theatre here in Wolverhampton on Tuesday the 25th of June is your opening night, isn't it?
I think so, next week is all I know.
And you're performing in Murder in Play. And this
that's
has been
one.
Part of a group of shows which have touring up and down the country.
Yes, yes. I mean, we've just recently done a lovely one, which I enjoyed enormously. We did the Agatha Christie. And this is the first, I think, of Ian's new kind of... rep is an old-fashioned word now, but that's basically what it is, his rep season. He's bringing all sorts of lovely collection of plays to Wolverhampton and various other places around England.
And what's it like being involved in this sort of tour? Because you must have done a few of these over the last, few years?
Well, no, I mean, I've come back from living overseas, so I haven't toured since the 70s,
mm-hmm.
other than my one-woman show in Australia and America. And I also did here, but not on a tour. So for me, this is all new and very different from when I toured in the 70s.
But you're one of those names who draws people in because of your links to Doctor Who and what you did alongside the one and only John Pertwee back in the 70s. And you played Joe Grant then, but of course you got to appear in the latter series as well, haven't you?
I did. They brought her back 40 years later. How brave of them. Yes, matron let me out of the home just to do it. So for me, coming back to England, one of the first things my agent said, I said, well, no, I want to do some touring. He said, are you mad? I said, no, I really want to do that. And, of course, since my day, when there were loads of producers and tours going on, it's now very different. And there's only two basically commercial producers. And Ian is one of the strongest. And he, you know... I've done a couple of absolutely lovely plays for him. This one I'm doing really not so much because I'm thinking, oh, I'm loving this part. I mean, it's a terrific play, but I really love the company. And it's a joy to be doing something that I love, which is taking theatre outside of London.
And when you're doing a tour like this, you're actually touring with other big names. You've got like Dean from Dean Gaffney from EastEnders.
We've got Dean Gaffney, and we've got lovely Gemma Bissett, and we've got David Callister. So it's and also three other, Julia Main, and a couple of other people who were in the and Poppy Meadows, who were all in the Agatha Christie play with me. So it's lovely. It's kind of like working with a family, really.
Well, tell us.
I'm the old girl, though. I'm the old girl now. I used to be the young girl. Now I'm the old girl. I'm now known as Granny Groove.
Really? Oh, that's not cool.
You look after everybody.
Oh, I'm loving it, darling. I'm loving it.
I've seen the pictures. You still look fantastic.
Well, thank you very much. So, thank you.
So tell us a little bit about Murder in Play, then.
Murder in Play. Well, it's a you're watching a play that's being rehearsed on stage, and a murder takes place. So what you're actually seeing is the cast of this play who are rehearsing. You get to see them as they are in real life, and as they are in the characters in the play. And I'm playing, of course, the old soapy star, who's very American, very kind of dry, and you know. Drew, and playing a part that is so incredibly wrong for her. You know, she's playing the old housekeeper, and she really doesn't want to be doing that.
Not even slightly happy about it.
So you slide into the American accent very easily and very...
Well, accents are my thing.
Right.
And I spent, obviously, a long time in America. No, accents are my strength.
But have you been living in Australia, though? That's been your home for a while.
I've been living in Australia and America.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, they're there and they speak English, and I'm just an old gypsy, you know. So it's been lovely to come back. I mean, I've been homesick for a very long time, so I'm absolutely thrilled to be home. I really am. And Gemma Bishop is playing the sort of young Miss Marple in this, who kind of solves the murder. And Dean Gaffney's playing a young actor, and then we've got the mad Davis Callister playing a... I think he's meant to be Russian director, but we're never sure whether he's real or whether he's actually just putting it on because he thinks it's really cool to be Russian. Who knows? So it's just a lovely piece of madness, really, to start the season with.
And it's going to be four plays. The first, as we say, is Murder in Play. That's Tuesday the 25th through Saturday the 29th of June. Steaming is Tuesday the 2nd through the 6th of July. We'll be hearing more about that next week. The Trouble with Old Lovers is the 9th to the 13th of July. And A Murder Has Been Arranged is the 16th to 20th of July. And you can actually see the whole season for just £62. If you do want to book, you can contact the Grand Theatre on 01902 429212. And you can obviously book just for the plays you want to see. But
I can come and stay in Wolverhampton for £62. I can come and see all four plays.
You can see the rest if you fancy it whilst you're here.
I'd like to see the one that I'm in, actually.
So I'll sneak a camera in and film it for you if you like. Okay.
No, please don't do that.
That's naughty. No, that is very naughty.
You'll get yourself thrown out,
yeah,
Jason.
I'll be in a lot of trouble.
You'll be in a lot of trouble.
I'm looking forward to coming along on the opening night. But when you're doing these things and you're in the UK, do you not get tempted to do the Doctor Who conventions and all this sort of thing as well, or is that just not your style?
No. I mean, I do absolutely. I mean, I've got another play that I'm getting ready to do now, which is a two-hander. And then I do the odd conventions, and they've just bought up my second figurine. I said to my children the other day, I said, well, Mummy hasn't a lot to leave you, but I can leave you two plastic figures and a sheet of stamps. Because they did bring out a sheet of stamps with me on. So you can actually lick the back of my head. Isn't that terribly exciting?
<That's good. laughs> It must be great being part of an iconic series like that, and using that to must open acting doors for you, not necessarily the ones you want. Have you ever been offered a role you didn't want because you've been in Doctor Who?
Oh, I've done a lot of roles I don't want. I don't think there's any actor out there who will tell you that that he is not done or doing something he doesn't particularly want to do. But, you know, that's the way of the business. But, I mean, for me, when I came into this, it was my second job, and it gave me a huge career. Mm. Absolutely wonderful. I mean, I was in the West End for 3 years. I was with the Royal Shakespeare Company. I was with the Young Vic. You know, I did a lot of television. And in Australia, I had my own talk show as well as doing theatre and so on and so forth. So, you know, it's been wonderful. I was actually walking yesterday with Freema Agaya, who was, you know, in the recent Doctor Who and who's now currently in Law and Order. And we were talking, isn't it interesting, all these years later, she's one of the newer girls. and I'm on the other, of what it actually does for your career, you know, and it really is a huge thing, and even more so now.
So it must be very, you must feel very privileged to have been one of the actresses that was in the Doctor Who series because of how popular it is.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, when you think that even in my day, there was 500 or 600 girls auditioning for that role, and it was my second job in the business, so I count myself as being very, very lucky. And it also, you know, taught me so much in 3 years, you know, of television, how to be in television. And back then, people didn't know as much about television in the sense that they do now.
So you know, I mean, have found as well, while I've been looking for you on the internet, there's a very raunchy picture of you posing naked with
the
Dalek as well.
Oh, that'll bite me in
the
bum for the rest of my life. You know, we didn't even have computers back then, so, you know, let's put it this way. It was way after Doctor Who that I did it, and it was something that was done after hours, shall we say.
Right.
And
after show party, was it?
You'd kind of, sort of, yes. You know, I'd done some rather nice photo. Anyway, the outcome was whoever got that photograph suddenly realised they were sitting on something years later, and so to speak. and, you know, consequently, I will never be able to live that. But one little boy came, because I've got very young fans now, going right up to, you know, from 5 to 70. And one little boy who was about 8 or 9 came up to me and he said, I saw a picture of you and you didn't have no clothes on. And I said, well, yes, I had to go and help the doctor save the universe and I didn't have time to get dressed. So, you know, I think one has to have a sense of humour when one is older. You know, let's face it, you know, if you look at everybody now who's done Playboy or whatever it is, you know, but for some reason that's like looking, I mean, it's quite tame, really.
Yeah, well, you can't see anything, really, so.
Well, it wasn't much to see, darling. which is why I never thought it would ever, you know, when you look at what you're seeing today and you look at the, you know, very well-known actresses who, you know, taken their clothes off to Penthouse and Playboy and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's something that's done. But when, of course, I did it, it wasn't.
No, I bet it was quite shocking when it first came out as well, wasn't it?
If there'd been the internet there as well.
You know, there was no internet back then, so it wasn't a big deal. You know, I mean, yes, there was a lot of coverage and I was on everything and everybody was having a go. And, you know, it is what it is. I thought it was funny.
Well, it stayed there, yeah. And it's going to be remembered forever alongside.
It's going to be there forever, darling. I will never be able to get rid of it, and so be it.
I don't think you want to either, to be fair. It's all good publicity.
I mean, my children just look at people and say, "Did you?" And they just go, "Oh, well, that's Mom." You know, that was then. This is now.
Well, what have you got planned after your current summer season? Anything else in the pipeline in the UK?
Yes, I've just only got another week on this one. Well, I'm living here now. Mm-hmm. I've got another play which I'm about to do. I've got a film that's just been released. And I've got quite a few. I do a lot of audios. You know, I did my own play, which on audio for Big Finish. Mm-hmm. And I do The Companion Chronicles. And I play a character called Iris Wildhine that I've been playing for about 8 years. And my play, I did 26 voices in it.
Wow.
So that's what's lined up for me next. And at my age, I'm extremely grateful anything that comes my way in a business that is very tough.
Well, you can find out more about your work at katiemanning.co.uk. And, of course, you can see Katie at the Grand Theatre in Wolverhampton for Ian Dickens Productions' summer play season for 2013, the first of which, as we mentioned, features Katie in Murder in Play. Starts on Tuesday the 25th. Tickets from the box office on 01902 429212, or pop into the Grand Theatre and you can buy those special tickets for the whole season for £62 plus your transaction fee.
Oh, please do, because, A, keep that lovely theatre, which, you know, is, I don't think there's an actor in my age group who hasn't played it and loved it. And that theatre, you know, we should support these lovely theatres around England. We really should. Mm. My suggestion is if you've got a little girl or a child that you want to take to the theatre, you know, buy them that instead of a sweater for their birthday.
Okay.
A ticket to see a show of their choice. So yep. It doesn't have to be this one, but that's how we keep theatre alive.
Yeah, but there is a lot of good children plays that come to the Grand as well. So I know it is absolutely quite popular with the younger people.
It's such a beautiful theatre. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's just something about that theatre.
Yeah, well, this week they've got Grandpa in my pocket this week, so there is something specifically for kids over the next few days as well. So well worth getting down there. Katie, lovely speaking to you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you both so much.
And we look forward to seeing you next week on the stage of the Grand Theatre here in Wolverhampton.
Oh, just say that one more time, just listening to your accent. I'm
having
one now.
Wolverhampton. There we go.
Oh, it's beautiful.
is that one accent that you've perfected, the West Midlands or Wolverhampton accent?
Well, yes. I mean, you know, those are all accents that I do. And that's one of my favourites. That just kind of warms the cockles of my heart.
Lovely. We'll see you soon. Ta-ra for now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Cheers. Ta-ra for now. Right, let's take a tune from Lemon. Talking to them very soon. This is Pussy Drop.
Girl, make the pussy drop, drop, make the pussy drop, girl, make the pussy drop, 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 drop. I know how it feels, daddy, when I make you sweat. Tonight I'll be your caddy, you can ride my private jet. Cause I'm flying and you like it. Checking on me, make the boys wanna Nike it. Push me, work it out, I'm just about to light it. Baby, watch your lick, you're just about to bite it. Girl, make the pussy drop, spinning like a helicopter. Pay attention when I'm already cuffed like a diamond truck. Moving like you know it's hot, take it to the very top. Drop the pussy down, 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 make it pop. Drop and give me 20, tell me when you're ready. On your knees now, on your marks, get steady, steady. On your marks, get steady. I'ma spin it like a coin, like a 10, like a penny. Give it to your hot, like you're thinking peri peri. I'm soft like a teddy and I move like jelly. So watch me over here while I pop, pop my cherry. Girl, make that pussy drop, give him everything you got. Have him crumbling, only then, girl, make it stop. Make that pussy bounce top, open like a sweet shop. Close like a tease, teach you to him like a workshop. Take it to the limit. Take it to the max, take it to the limit, tell him to relax. If he sits back, you can give it to him proper. Now you know that he really, really wanna. Girl, make the pussy drop, make the pussy drop, drop. Girl, make the pussy drop, drop. Girl, make the pussy drop, make the pussy drop, drop. Girl, make the pussy drop, drop. Girl, make the pussy drop, make the pussy drop, drop. Girl, make the pussy drop, drop, drop. Girls, if you're sexy and you know it, then you don't need a man. And if girls really run this, it's only cause we can. So get on the dance floor with a drink in your hand. Get that pussy ready, get that pussy set, get that pussy going.
Was Lemon with Pussy Drop.
And she is on the phone now. Hello.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I am doing fabulous. How are you guys doing?
Oh, very well, very well. And then we find you in the studio, I believe.
I am in the studio. Yeah. We just recorded the acoustic for Pussy Drop.
So, yeah, because you've been working on hard on different versions of this, and you're actually going to be pushing the single up and down the country, aren't you?
I am, yeah. I've got 15 dates, Party in the Parks and Gay Pride, all up and down the country, Scotland and Wales.
Very busy few weeks then, or months.
Yes, very exciting. I'm going to be making sure everyone's pussy dropping.
Do you have a dance?
I do. The song is about a new dance craze that I'm hoping to get all the clubs doing. And I've got a nice amount of celebrities that are online. Mm. So if you type in Tom Daly doing the pussy drop and Noel Fielding and Joe Brand, you will find them pussy dropping online.
Oh, that's got to be worth a look. No,
obviously, we've heard the song, but this doesn't involve cruelty to cats, does it?
No, it doesn't. It definitely
just
doesn't.
Checking.
I love cats.
That's good. Describe for us then, and yes. Then we'll go and look at the YouTube video later.
Okay, so the dance move is you pick up your knee and you slap your leg. And then you put your foot down and you drop to the floor with your arms above your head. So you make your pussy drop.
I prefer
Seems
the cat
quite
story,
simple,
I
doesn't it?
Yeah,
I think everybody will be able to pick that dance up. It seems quite simple.
It is, and it's really fun. Like, I've got my mum doing it, and in my video that's coming out in a couple of weeks, we've got like a traffic warden, a policeman. I've got a little girl do it. It's for everyone, grandmas, businessmen. It's something fun. It's not.
Yeah, I was gonna say people like a bit of fun, don't they? Throughout the summer,
yeah,
it's a nice home
definitely.
Summer.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, exactly. When everyone's having their barbecues, their family barbecues, getting everyone to do the pussy drop.
I might have a look because I'm having a barbecue this weekend. I might see if I can get everybody doing
that. You need to get that on. Yeah, exactly.
Well, we have the single. You'll be dancing around Turner Towers to that one, I'm sure. But there we go.
Oh, yeah.
Any great song, though, needs a fantastic follow-up, too. So have you got a whole album on the way in the near future?
I have a whole album on the way, yes. Yeah, I've even got, I reckon, some songs for the second album. So, yeah, we're just planning it and planning the Lemon Invasion, and then you'll get a lot of stuff. Lots of different things as well.
And
lots of dubstep and reggae and ballads coming.
Well, I was going to say, because you described as infectious pop by your label, and obviously that's a really upbeat tune, but that's not all there is to you. There's much more than that.
There is a lot more than that, yeah. I think everyone's going to be happily surprised on the second single and the third single. Got some big epic ballads and some big hip-hop beats, and yeah, it's good. Lots of big vocals and kind of a lot of acoustic stuff coming out, and yeah, so
now,
I'm sure everyone's going to be lemonized.
Lemonized, okay. This.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued as to quite how that's going to go, because I've seen the teaser video, and that involves you, I suppose, lemonizing somebody. Then now we have the phrase for it, but
I wrote lemon on with black lipstick on a guy, a passed out party goer's forehead.
Yes, that would be the one.
Yeah,
and
that's it.
Is this something you intend doing at events as you perform up and down the country then? Plenty of black lipstick to hand, writing on people when they least expect it.
people that have passed out because they've drunk too much beer at gay pride. Yeah, probably. I'm up for it.
Okay, we shall look out for the handwriting.
Definitely.
And obviously, you've got all this going on. It's going to keep you rather busy. When do you expect to see the album coming along?
Early next year.
Yeah, so it is. There's quite a labour of love, but you're going to make your name with this one first, I think. And
absolutely.
And but you absolutely. Obviously you've got the talent. You've decided not to go down the talent show route though. So it's not the something appeals. You're actually you're more the musician rather than the one who wants to stand there and sing cover versions.
Absolutely, I write all my own songs. I have done since I was 12, and kind of want to keep it that way and keep my own. Like, I want to be the creatively in control and not have that kind of taken away. I want to remain in control and, you know, keep the Lemon brand real.
So the music obviously means more to you than you know, being like a mega star.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
100%.
But one often goes with the other if you have the talent. And by the sense of things, you certainly do. And if you've got a good bit of choreography going on as well, however interesting the name is, you...
It's very interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I might beep it.
Yeah,
but
there
we go. Yeah. So where do people find out more then and get to see the YouTube clips?
On YouTube, it is I Am Lemon Music. But if you follow me on Twitter, Lemony World, I will be sure to get all the links to you and get to know new people and send everything and lemonise them.
We'll have to get you doing that, Jason.
Yeah, I think maybe I couldn't anymore.
I definitely think you should. Yeah. I think you should film it for me.
We shall see. We'll see how that one works out. Lemon, thank you for joining. It's been lovely speaking to you. Catch you soon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Cheers. Bye for now.
Bye. Let's have some more music now and talk to Oliver Carpenter.
Yes, because you're on the line, sir, to tell us more about Blues at the Fold.
I am indeed, and hello there.
So what's going on then?
Well, it's a one-day festival just outside Worcester, which is held at the Fold, which is one of these places with a lovely cafe and designer makers and artisan producers of, you know, jewellery and all those sorts of things, like a craft centre. But one day a year we take it over and put on a music festival, a blues festival. And this is our fifth. The last two have both sold out, which is lovely. Mm-hmm. And this year's is on Saturday the 6th of July.
Now, more information can be found at bluesatthefold.co.uk.
Yes, indeed. Everything you could possibly want to know and more.
But tell us a bit about the artists, because Stomp and Holler are going to be there, and they're a very fine band, aren't they?
Well, that's very kind of you to say so. Yes, that's our that's one of my bands. It's a sort of New Orleans, swampy sort of groovy sort of blues. Lots of brass, lots of singers, all six of us sing. So, you know, big noise, big sound, and the most amazing drummer who plays half the time with his hands.
Wow.
So he's well worth the ticket money on his own.
So that all gets going at what sort of time? Because it's a full day, isn't it?
Yeah, the gates open at 1 and the live music is 2 till 11. And we have all sorts of people from Sarah Warren, who people may well know about, who's as a Midlands artist, cracking singer. But we also have some more travelled people, like we've got a band called William the Bandits, who are currently supporting Deep Purple on the French leg of their tour, and they are coming up from Brighton. And we have Ricky Cool, who many of you will have come across. He's been around forever, and he plays a sort of he's a harp and sax player, real swing sound sort of, and he'll have everyone dancing at the end. So and lots of other stuff as well. Steve Ajayo, the Swaps, all sorts of people.
And the beer tent, of course.
Ah, well, one of the things that the Fold, ignoring the festival, is well known for is its food. You know, it's sort of mostly organic and it's absolutely delicious, and they really care where it comes from, and it's sustainable and tasty and lovely. And also they care where their beer comes from. So we have local beers and lots of them. So Team Valley Brewery, Malvern Brewery, and a couple of others. And also Ciders and Perries, because it's very
ciders.
Much cider and perry country.
Yes, yeah. So plenty for people to taste and while they're listening to the music as well.
Yes, plenty to listen to, plenty to taste. Something for all the senses.
Well, by the sounds of things, it should be rather good fun. Yep. Give us that web address and how people get hold of tickets and what the prices are.
Well, it's www.bluesatthefold.co.uk. It's £13 if they book before the end of June, £15 if they book afterwards, £3 for under 12s, under 5s are free, and camping on the Saturday night, or camper van or caravan, but per person is £6 a head.
And
so they really want to make the whole day of it and go for it on the delicious beers and ciders and perries and wines, they can.
It's the only way to do it, I think. That's a proper festival, isn't it, when you're doing it that way?
Yeah.
Right, we're going to hear a tune from Stomp and Holler now. What have you got lined up for us?
We've got a song called Webtop Checker.
And you'll be able to hear this one live on the day, because it's from your current album, isn't it?
It is, yes. We launched it officially Saturday.
And you can also find out more about that on your own website. Give us the details of that one.
That's stompandholler.co.uk.
Oliver, thank you for joining us and speak to you soon.
Our pleasure.
Cheers. Drive Cheers.
Down. Bye.
Bye.
Ta-da.
Take a ride with me. Stone, funky beat, and slippery rhythm, and baby, you're gonna see. Just the keys and guitar, bass and drums, cooking up a double decker. Well, I first fell free and I saw the light with an oval wet top checker. '45s and Chicago cats wearing silver and black. It was the greatest sound that I ever heard. Man, it knocked me back. Just a juicy shuffle, digging up a groove for me, just rubbernecking. Well, I first fell free and I heard the light of an old vinyl wet top checker. Shouted, oi, 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 oi. That very first night in 61, Lord, it was never better. Well, I first fell free in the heavenly light of an old vinyl whip top checker.
Now, here with us in the studio, as we mentioned a little bit earlier on, we have Lloyd, Loz and Roxanne. Hello.
Hello.
Now, you're from the MB Gallery, and it's the home of the Maker's Dozen Studios. So tell us about what you're up to at the moment.
Well, we're a group of artists at Maker's Dozen Studios, and we've turned an old office mailroom into a gallery, which we've called MD Gallery, obviously.
Yep.
And we've just opened. We've been open a few weeks now, and we're just trying to get publicity for it so that people come along and see all the work by all the artists at the studios.
So what sort of thing are you looking at, though? Is it all one specific genre of work, or are there different materials and different types of expressive art on display?
Yeah, there's quite a diverse range of artists, Maker's Dozen. You've got people working in traditional media, drawing and painting, and then you've got more experimental stuff as well.
And when it comes down to new ideas for this sort of thing, where are people drawing their influences from? Is that somewhere you work together to look for different routes to take, or is it 12 individuals bringing their experience and expertise?
Well, there's actually 13 artist studios there, and there's 6 of us, isn't there, that set this up.
Yeah.
And we're all bringing our own sort of work into it. We don't work as a
yeah, we don't
group.
Collaborate.
No,
we're not collaborating at all, but we're just bringing all the work that we're doing individually together for this gallery.
Where does the funding come from for this sort of thing? Is it through the sale of artwork, or are the grants that have put this together?
Well, fortunately, the MD Gallery is free to us because it used to be the old mail room. Nobody's using it, really.
Yep.
So we just made it into a gallery. So it's incorporated into the cost of the studios, which we all pay for.
Yes.
We all pay for our own studios.
Yeah. You know? And it gives you a chance to, as an exhibition space. Is there a bit of competition for who's going to have the biggest piece of artwork in there, though?
No. Competition for who gets the first sale.
So can an outside artist come in and say that they want to display there, like somebody who's perhaps got a collection that they want to show?
Yes, we've been approached by several other artists who aren't part of the Maker's Dozen. And we feature a guest artist spot in the gallery for them to display their work.
And people can also purchase them as well if they wanted to.
That's correct, yeah.
And when it comes down to this sort of creativity and the markets and margins, this, I suppose, gives a more direct feed for the funding to go back to the artist, because if you're going through a big commercial gallery, they're taking sometimes 50-60% of the sale fee, aren't they?
This is right, yeah. It allows us to get the sales direct to the artists.
And when you're doing it that way, so as well, you can actually introduce the people to the artists they're buying from. Does that allow that sort of interactivity?
Yeah, obviously, most of us are there during the week, so having people come through, you know, that they'll actually have us to talk to directly, which I always think's quite
great.
Good.
They come to the gallery, they see the stuff, and then come into the studios and see the artists at work as well. Mm-hmm. So it's
And so you positively encourage that. You want to give them the access.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think that would be quite interesting, because people can actually see what you're making, and then perhaps if they like it half done, they can come back and see it finished and then purchase it, can't they?
Yeah, they can come and see us anytime.
Yeah, I mean, they can actually make appointments to come into our studios as well and see what we're working on, and as well as seeing the finished works in the gallery as well.
And of course, the commission as well. If they've got a specific space or something they want, they can see who's best to talk to as well by the sort of works you're showing and decide who they want to go with.
That's right. Yeah. We've got different styles going on, so street art, digital art, traditional art. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we cover a wide range of stuff. Yeah.
And is it all picture-based work, or are we seeing sculpture and things like that as well?
There's a few sort of sculptures that are going to be placed in there as well. Mm-hmm. There's like a mix of different types.
And glass work
as well, possibly as well.
So. I'm looking forward to the day we start to see artists working in new mediums like the 3D printer and turning something on screen into something they can print out. And it'd be interesting to see mass-produced art. Is that somewhere you're maybe looking at going to?
Yeah, well, I've just got some of my work on Sedition website. Which is a digital platform, so people can buy the art really cheaply in a digital format, and it's a good way of starting to collect art, so
it
gets people interested.
And it's nice that you're embracing a new technology, which could, in some ways, it could be seen to be trying to kill art off, because the amount of things that can be pirated and copied, people can have something without you know, getting the original, but if you can make something original for them that's personalised in some way that then they're able to get access to more quickly and more cost-effectively, it keeps that sort of thing alive, doesn't it?
I think it makes it more affordable, doesn't it, to people perhaps that can't buy a Picasso or can't buy like the modern artists that are more expensive. They can come and get something that's relatively cheap but that still is perhaps individual and different.
Yeah, well, we can talk to the collectors, buyers, anybody who comes to the studios and gallery. And if they want something personalised, we could probably do that.
Can you do like bespoke pieces? So say, for example, if you mentioned like the glass artwork, if somebody particularly likes glass work and they wanted a particular design or something like that, would they be able to come in and talk to the artist and say, well, I want this for a special occasion? Would they be able to do that?
Well, we take commissions. Yeah, I mean...
And everything's negotiable.
that's the only way to work in this world. And when you're, you've got this group together, have there been any sort of, you've said there aren't really many collaborations in there, but is that completely ruled out? Or maybe if somebody, again, the commission maybe wanted to take two people on, one for a background piece and then somebody with something 3D in front of it, would that really, would you be able to work together on that?
Yeah, we're open to collaborations. Me and Loz have worked together on a couple of pieces, actually, in the past, haven't we?
So, totally, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally open to that idea.
Yeah, I gave Lloyd an idea for a digital piece. I came up with a concept, but I haven't got any coding skills, but Lloyd knows coding, so he coded the image for me. It's not a physical image, it's totally digital, and it worked out really well. When it was printed out, it looked fantastic. So there was a collaboration.
Yeah, I'd say it sounds a really novel way of doing it as well. So when you've got the Makers Dozen, how long has that been going now? Because it's been a while.
It's been there for a good few years now. I've been there for about 6 years, and I think it was going even before then. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's been going.
It's well established, and bringing artists in, and it must be in some ways an honour to be able to take space there and to be able to do it, because there must be a queue and a waiting list of people who want to get involved.
It's a great space, and because of the location next to the art gallery, it's just when you feeling like you need a little bit of inspiration or something, you can just walk into the art gallery. So yeah, I think there is quite a great demand for a place in the studios.
Okay, so give full details on how people can find you on the website and things, and how they get in touch.
Yeah, well, Makers Dozen, we've got our MD Gallery website, mdgallery.info. They can find us on the website by going there. Email us at artists@mdgallery.info if they want to ask any questions or come and see the gallery or studios. Or come and visit us. We're right in the centre of the city. We're at the rear of Wolverhampton Art Gallery. Come around any day, ring the bell, somebody will come down from the studios and show you the gallery, and then maybe even a studio visit as well.
Yeah,
and
most importantly, is a kettle.
Totally.
You can get a cuppa, which is...
Can I just also add as well that we're having an official opening day on Saturday the 29th of June this month, and Horace Panter from the Specials, he's an artist as well, and he's actually agreed to open it for us, and he'll be hanging a piece of his work in there,
he's going to be the first guest artist.
That's fantastic.
And we're really excited about that.
That's really good.
And that's from 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. on the Saturday.
And you just come along.
Yeah, just come along.
But get there early to make sure you see that ribbon cut and the piece of art going up.
And just a chance to basically see the new gallery and possibly have a look at the studios as well.
Okay. So. Absolutely brilliant. Lovely. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for telling us more about it. Middle of Wolverhampton is a place you want to be, and check it out.
Yeah,
and give us that website one more time.
It's mdgallery.info. If you go on there, you'll find all the information about us, the artists.
And meet the rest of the gang, because there's another 10 of you.
Oh, there's others.
Yeah. So we couldn't fit them all in, could we?
No. There we go. Yeah, thanks for coming down. Good to meet you, and we look forward to seeing your artwork.
Cheers.
Thanks a lot.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Back to the phone lines we go, where we now find Mr. Dicky Dodd. Hello.
Hello, Jason. How are you?
I'm fine, all things considered, but there we are. Now, a couple of weeks ago we spoke because you were getting a little bit nervous about your jump that you were doing because of your stardom on Signal 107 in aid of Compton Hospice at the Compton in the Park event, which we both worked on over the weekend. And you did your jump for charity. You did it. Well done.
Yeah, I managed to do it. It was a little bit high, a bit scary, but it was well worth doing. And I must admit, it's just even now though, I can't believe that I've done it. You know, I've watched the video two or three times, looked at lots of photos that people have taken, and even now, looking back, it's like, did I really do that? You know.
Well, before we talk any more, let's have a listen to what happened when Dickie did his jump from 150 feet above West Park.
Come this way, 10 toes on the edge, one hand there and his thumb at the top, OK? Lean back a little bit, looking straight ahead at the top of the hills, yeah? Lean back, ready? 3, 2, 1, bungee!
Woohoo! I did it! Yes! Oh man, this is awesome! Can I have a pint of Banks's beer now? Oh, you can't get me.
And you looked absolutely petrified on the way up, young man.
Yeah, but when that bit of recording just went out then, right, you could hear the rush of the air over the microphone. That's how fast I was falling, you know?
You managed not to swear as well.
Well, Jason did warn me, told me not to, otherwise I won't get burgers or hot dogs for the rest of the day. You know?
Yeah, there would have been no food and no beer, because there were a queue of people waiting to give you beer afterwards as well.
Yeah, I had, I drank 2 pints, but I had 4 pints of beer sat there waiting for me when I'd finished, which was rather nice, and it was Banks's Mild as well, which is my favourite, so
that was
rather nice. Yeah, it did go down very nicely. It went down nearly as well as a bungee jump, to be fair.
and it was rather quick as well. And you were straight up and straight out. There was no messing about, because there were some of the contenders who were teetering on the brink for a while, not sure whether they really wanted to be doing it.
Well, Johnny, who's the guy with the bungee company, they're a lovely, lovely team, I've got to say. They're really nice and put me at ease and whatever. And obviously, do all the safety checks, which they do 3 or 4 times before you even get in the cage. And then on the way up, Johnny was saying, look, all the safety checks I've done, you've seen it been done, you're happy, yes I am. And he said, right, as the cage started to lift, he said, this is your moment now, this is the bit you're going to enjoy. He said, so when we get to the top, I'm going to put this stabiliser bar on, which keeps the cage kind of the way they want it to be pointing. He says, then I'm going to open the door, you'll put one hand on this side of the bar, one hand on this other side of the bar, and then you stand up, and then we'll go 3, 2, 1, bungee, and you'll jump. I said, okay. And then, so we get to the top. I think, well, we're there now. And then I look out and I think, crikey, this is high. And then he puts that little stabiliser bar on. And then he opens the door. And he says, right, stand up. So you have to kind of shuffle along, because obviously your feet have those little restraints on, together and whatever. And then you shuffle over to the door. And he says, right, both hands on the cage. So that you don't hang on. He says, lean back. And he said, are you ready? He said, look at the church spire, which I think was St John's Church, I can't remember. I could see Maryhill Flats in the distance, that's how high it was. And then he said, lean back, you ready? I said, yeah. He went, 3, 2, 1, bungee. And then I just leapt out. And then you heard what I just did then, obviously. So that's what it was. And it was amazing. I can't even, people said, what was it like? And I think you're just so focused on doing it. I think you'd really need to do it again to get the full feeling of it, but it was good, you know what I mean? But you don't kind of look anywhere on the way down, and it's not a jerky kind of you know, when you kind of down and that first bounce up, I thought it would jerk your body. It doesn't at all.
That's what it looks like to me. I think that's one of the things which would put me off, because it seems, I don't know, you're being yanked back up again. But
no, honestly, it just, you know, well, if that's what you call yanking, I don't mind being yanked like that.
Was it as bad as you thought it was going to be?
No, not at all. I built it up in my head. I think I've tortured myself the past month since we had the meeting at Compton Hospice to say I was going to do it. And then I've known for a month I've been doing it. So, and then there's a lot of pressure with friends and family asking me if I'm going to do it. Then on the day, obviously lots of people came supported me. My cousins and my family, aunts and uncles, friends as well, all came. So, and obviously Jason too, asking the question, are you going to do it every 5 minutes? So
I did check with you first though, that it was safe to do that. We wouldn't be too cruel. And Julie is actually with you at the moment, who can hear all of this, your good lady wife. And were you a little bit nervous for him?
No.
You were quite keen to see him do it then, yeah?
Yeah, I checked
was going to say.
As soon as I knew that, I said, go on, you do it.
As soon as you knew he was all right.
It was a bit nerve-wracking, I have to say, because I know that he doesn't like heights very much. So for him to do it, it was a very, very good achievement. It was fabulous.
And you're proud of him?
Very, very proud. Very proud.
And it was all in a good cause. And you raised what was over £600 for Compton in the end with the Should He, Shouldn't He campaign that you ran.
Yeah, an amazing amount of money. And so I've got to say a big thank you to everybody who did, patenting by sponsoring me and making it the reason why I went to do it was to raise money for Compton. With all the other people, obviously, you know, who also got sponsored on the day too. So it was a brilliant day. I've just enjoyed every single second of it, and I would do it again. I think already for next year, Sue and the team at Compton Hospice are asking, what can we get Dickie to do? So, watch this space.
You never know. And I can say, because you did end up forcing me pretty much to go and do it as well, didn't you?
Whose idea was it for you to do it, Jason?
Yeah, because I had to have a go as well, didn't I?
Yeah, to be fair, you were like really cool about it, really calm. You just kind of said, okay, and kind of sauntered off, went and got weighed in, got your checks all done. And then you did it, so fair play to you for doing it literally on the spur of the moment there and then, because it's a big thing to do. And, you know, if you don't like heights, you're not comfortable with heights or whatever, it's not a normal thing that we all do every day, is leap out of a cage 154 feet, you know what I mean?
No, it is a bit peculiar. Well done. Thanks to everyone for down at Compton for the great time we had the weekend, and I'll look forward to speaking to them soon to find out what the total was. Right, you're off to see Rihanna now, so you have a lovely night, OK?
Cheers, matey.
Cheers, and see you, Julie. Ta-ra for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's take some more music from one of the bands playing at the Blues at the Fold Festival.
This is Willie and the Bandits.
Keep your head up. Down low and you can't even play the call. How long will it last? You got to get outside and see the beauty of this world. Oh, people live with love, love, laugh, get through the troubled times. Yeah.
and the Bandits, and now no connection at all to Stiv in the studio. Hello, sir. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thanks, mate.
Good stuff. Now, last time you were co-hosting.
I was.
You've been a guest before.
Yes.
You've been here in your guise as a stand-up comedian.
Yes.
And now you're here as a filmmaker.
Yes.
Tell me more.
Okay. Myself and another stand-up comedian by the name of Frankie Peoples have started a film production company called Buffalo Charlie. We are currently in pre-production of our first feature film called One Night, which we hope to start filming in October. And basically we're just trying to get a bit of advertising out for the production company. We're going to be using a thing called Indiegogo, which is crowdfunding.
Yeah.
And we're going to put all the information onto our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/BuffaloCharlie.
And what happens from here then? Because you've already got some big names signed up to take part.
Yeah, we've got Lucinda Rhodes in, who's she was on Sky One's Dream Team. She's been in CBBC programme called Cave Girl. She's been Harry and Kosh. She's been in a whole bunch of British films. And we've also got the script's currently being read by a very, very well-known British actor, whose name I can't drop at present until we get a green light either way.
Yeah.
But, yeah, things it sort of exploded from being a very small production to suddenly becoming a very big British production.
So how did the script come about in the first place, then?
It's actually a Frankie Peoples original. He's written it. Originally, it was a sort of short, and we got together, we read it, we dissected it, he took it apart, rewrote sections of it, and we've sort of worked on it like that. All the writing's actually been done by Frankie, and he's just come to me and said, well, what do you think of this? And we've changed a few things here and there, but it's a completely original script.
It must be nice working on something new like that, and it's a whole new area for you, because you've not done this sort of stuff before, have you?
I've done filming. Obviously, with Thaddeus and Stiv Stir, we've done all our YouTube stuff.
Yeah, but that's not quite filming, that's you messing about in front of
a
camera. Come
bigger.
On.
this is a much, much bigger scale, of course, yeah. It's very refreshing, actually, because Frankie is such a driven person. The one thing with me and Fad, when we get together, we tend to just sit around and make each other laugh as opposed to
getting
done. I've
seen the videos, yeah.
Whereas with Frankie, he's so driven that he's taking it by the scruff of the neck and really, you know, sort of ran toward the field goal with it, you know.
I think you're going to learn as you go along, aren't you? And as long as you've got creative people around you that you can bounce ideas off, I think it's going to go well.
Yeah, I'm a very visual person anyway. I'm a published author as well before any of my comedy, and whenever I write, I always see it as a film anyway. So when I get given a script, it's very easy for me to dissect that and think, right, this is where I want the camera to be, this is this and this. But this is going to be my first proper go at directing. And like I said, I was talking to you sort of off air earlier, and it's gone from being a really small, low-budget production to suddenly having proper actors and big names, and, you know, I've kind of got to know what I'm doing.
Otherwise, you thought you were going to have a laugh, and it's got serious, haven't you?
Yeah, well, it was always going to be a serious endeavour, this one. It's although Frankie and I are both comedians, this is a very serious project. It's something we both really want to do. You know, it's we're filming it in Dudley, which is like the most serious of all the Wolverhampton towns.
Well, it's just down the road, its own metropolitan borough.
Oh, we might be able to feature the zoo. That would be good.
I doubt it somehow.
Yeah, all?
I can't. Yeah,
well, give us a hint at the plot. I know you're not going to give it all away, but
it's so difficult. It's a sort of drama stroke thriller based on a sort of ordinary family man whose life gets turned upside down in one night.
Yeah,
and the title is called One Night. There's loads of twists and turns in the plot, and I can't give any more away than that without giving away sort of really important plot, you know, key plot points. But suffice to say that I really like it.
You wouldn't be working on it if you didn't, though. I know that much.
Well, no, but I mean, on the basis of the strength of the script is how we're getting the people in. I mean, Lucinda Rhodes absolutely read the script and was instantly like, "I want to film this," and she's doing it for nothing, which I think is pretty amazing, really.
Well, I think that's the actors do have that sort of second sight, as it were, that they do like to be involved with things that they know are going to be good, and they can recognise a good script, and that's probably why she's.
Well, I say she's doing it for nothing. She's had all the conversation with Frankie. As far as I know, she's doing it for nothing. I might have just lost her.
Unless he's promised her other things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But how does it work as far as your crowdfunding goes then? What's the promise off the back of it? Do they get to come to the premiere?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, it's not completely up and running yet. I'm hoping to come back and visit you again when it's completely done. As I say, my co-producer, Frankie's on holiday at the moment, the jammy sod. So he's kind of left me a bit to come and do this. It's going to be, there's a website called Indiegogo, where all the information is going to be on there. There'll be different things available, I'm guessing. sort of from as little as a signed picture of the cast and things like that and mugs and stuff, all the way up to executive producer credits actually, for, you know, at the film, at the premiere and what have you. And now I say it's gone from a small production to a large one. We're now going to be thinking distribution deals and stuff, and there could very well be something on the back end as well. So, but at the moment, it's not completely up and running, but if people can follow us, with, I'm at the Stivster on Twitter, at Frankie Peoples, and at Buffalo Charlie. Is the actual film.
Yeah, you're going to have to spell Stivster, I think.
Yeah, okay. T-H-E, and Stivster is S-T-I-V-S-T-E-R.
Get yourself down there, find out what's going on, follow you, and before you know it, you could help be here, helping make part of cinema history.
Potentially.
Yeah. What else you got going on at the minute then? Because you've been working here, there and everywhere, haven't you?
Yeah, I won an award back in December as a new stand-up comedian in King's Heath, but I haven't actually done any stand-up since January because I unfortunately got injured at work and it put me out of commission for about 7 or 8 weeks.
Yeah.
And on the back of that, obviously, I'm now pushing so much towards this, I just haven't got the time to do the stand-up.
So you're just concentrating on the day job and making the film happen?
Yeah, the film is the biggest thing at the moment, completely. It's sort of taking over everything. I mean, that's my wife, she's... She doesn't actually know I'm here, actually, thinking about it.
No, that's not a problem. She never knows where you are. Is she in the film, though? Does she know? She may not know this yet herself. Is she acting?
No, it's one of them things, really, because since we started getting into this, and obviously I'm following Lucinda Rhodes, I've been followed by all these beautiful women on Twitter. And
no.
And all of a sudden, I'm having conversations with these beautiful women, and my missus is sort of sitting there going, okay, what's going on here?
Yeah.
I'm sure if you get her a spot in the film, she'll forgive you.
She'd never do it. She's a beautiful woman, but she likes her privacy. She doesn't. Yeah. She'd never be one for going into the spotlight.
But what about when you're the multimillionaire celebrity megastar? Is she not going to? Yeah, you'll be both splashed all over the front pages of the papers.
Well, thank you for that. First off, the massive vote of confidence. Yeah, I don't think so.
It's not going to come to that yet.
I think even if this did absolutely brilliantly, and and fingers crossed, we go on to make more and more stuff. I think my family would always be completely separate. They've always been separate to everything I've done. You know.
Yeah, because when you're doing the stand-up, it is quite difficult because you want to tell stories and you've got to try and find the line between telling the truth because it's funny and making sure your family still talk to you.
Well, my the show that I actually won the award with was all completely true, based around my wife and the birth of our children. So she hadn't actually heard it until it was recorded, and I said we won the award, and then she saw it and she was like, "Oh, okay, we need to have a word now."
You're not doing that again. As long as it pays the bills, you shouldn't argue.
Yeah, I won a whole £30 for that.
Yeah, that's impressive. Was there a trophy as well?
No, there was a spot on a professional night, but as I'm not doing stand-up anymore, I don't get that. So
yeah,
but never mind.
It's slightly limiting, but there we are. Right, when are you coming back then? We'll get you in probably 2-3 months' time to find out more? Or is it
we're hoping to film at the end of October, so all being well, I'm hoping if you'll have me in the next sort of 5 or 6 weeks, we should have everything ready to plug and
you're
push.
More than well. We'll get the both of you in.
Hopefully. And of course, Lucinda was supposed to be on tonight, as you know, and she decided to go gallivanting around London instead of being by a computer in readiness for it. So
couldn't get her, but we will be talking to her soon.
Hopefully, yeah, we'll get her on at some point, I'm sure.
That's pretty well. I say good luck with it all, and we look forward to see what happens. And when you head out with your camera crew around Dudley.
Well, me with a camera, more than a camera crew, because they need paying. So,
yeah. There's always limitations. So all the scenes done 3 times from different angles.
Yeah, but one camera, every scene shot at least 3 times,
works every time. Well, so good luck with it. We look forward to hearing from you again soon, and you're more than welcome. Next time Zoe takes a week off, you can come and co-host again.
Fantastic.
Okay, mate.
I'd love to. Cool. Thank you very much for having me.
No problem at all. And that's it for this week. We're off back next week.
Yes.
And you've got an exciting week planned?
Well, the weather's supposed to be nice at the weekend, so I'm hoping to do our barbecue, our very first barbecue of the year.
Okay, well, that'll be a treat.
It will do.
Food poisoning
alert. Pussy dropping, wouldn't you?
Yeah, so should we do the dance?
Said,
yeah, this is it.
Doing the pussy drop.
Gone right off a beef burger now, I'll tell you that much. But anyway, we should be back next week. We'll see you then. Ta-ra for now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.